ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast, produced in association with our strategic partners, Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, and with Generation CFO. Transformation is a phrase that's been uttered in many conversations over the past years. Its definition can often be confusing. The pace of change for organisations is continuing to accelerate, and the predictions highlight yet more change at a more advanced rate in the years to come. So how should finance professionals continue to play their role in driving their organisations forward towards the future? ACCA, in association with Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand and Generation CFO, have been considering the impact of transformation on organisations and the role of the finance community. The observations are presented in our joint report, Transformational Journeys, Finance in an Agile World. This is the fourth in a series of podcasts that accompany the report, and the focus of this discussion is on the practical lessons learned from those at the forefront of transformational activities. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm the Head of Business Management and ACCA's Professional Insights team, and I'm pleased today to be joined by my guests, Andrea Naylor and James Best. Andrea is the Group CFO of Namos Solutions, an award-winning global systems integrator based in the UK. And James is the Managing Director of Precision Finance Consulting, a consultancy based in the UK. Welcome, Andrea. Welcome, James.
Thank you, Clive.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Right. Let's start with probably what I suspect may be the trickiest question and one I've kicked off most of the podcast with. What is transformation? What does it mean? Andrea, do you want to proffer some thoughts?
Yeah, sure. Long answer. So I think once you understand the vision, and you might have to do some work on that alone, and understanding the vision of the organisation and the strategy, ensuring that the functions are aligned to support that success. So you're going to have that journey, that roadmap, and you're going to have to do a lot of engagement to make sure you get that right. So you've got the people within that organisation and external stakeholders as well that will may need to go on a journey to transform what they're doing and how they're doing it. To deliver more efficiencies and move towards further business success. So James, I'm sure I could go on forever talking, but I'm sure you've got plenty to say as well.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, its simplest definition, transformation is essentially change. And I guess in the context of what we're discussing, an organisational change is essentially a change to the culture. And although we may say, for one instance, digital transformation, the change is essentially in the culture, and the technology is the tool that's used to achieve the goal. The goal isn't to adopt the technology. And I think sometimes that can get a bit confusing for some organisations who haven't probably thought out and planned the use case of why they're going through a transformation. And I completely agree that people are the most important aspect of a transformation, and sometimes the most overlooked. But for any transformation to be successful, it has to be adopted initially and then sustained, and that is all through people.
So we have that sense of it being a broad change. It's about components of people, process, technology, data, governance, and it is a journey to improve an organisation. Is that a good summary?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So where do we get hung up on the term transformation? Because is it simply that we think all transformation is digital, or that we get scared of that sense of change?
I think it's a long-term journey, really, Clive. So my view is that some people expect a tick box at the end of a change, and that's it, you're done. But ultimately, I think I would argue that transformation is a much bigger offering, and if you get it right, it involves so many aspects and stakeholders in and outside the organisation, and it's ongoing. As a finance professional, you want to ensure that there's going to be that ongoing business agility to support the organisation with the outside pressures.
Yeah, and I think maybe the actual word itself, transformation, is, you know, to some people can be, you know, they can kind of be fearful of that. And inherently, I think all people are resistant to some sort of change, particularly when they're comfortable in doing something that they've been doing for a long time and they're used to. And, you know, finance professionals specifically, the way the function traditionally works through month-end processes, the budgeting and the forecasting cycles, they're not really programmed through the professional qualification or particularly within their roles to be agile and work in, you know, ambiguous environments. But as soon as you start to talk about transformation and introducing change, all of those things come to realisation.
I think my experience is that when you're going to go through a transformation, the first thing that you do in organisations is prepare a business case. And it's great for governance, but when does that end? You're going to have your reduced costs, and you're going to have some benchmarking for that data improvement. But it's an ongoing process.
I think that's an interesting point about the business case. Again, traditionally, there's an initiative to make some kind of change, maybe it's on a smaller scale, or introduce a new system, a new ERP. And the business case, the value proposition, generally has been appraised on its financial return on investment. And sometimes making these larger organizational changes, you may not realize financial benefits that are expected traditionally, but there is a shift in, you know, the way that people work to not get left behind, basically competitors, other organizations, and to meet the needs of customers, whether that's external or internal. And so I think, yeah, maybe the way we look at the business case and how that value proposition is communicated would be a good starting point.
Absolutely. And you mentioned culture earlier, James, and I think it's important to recognise throughout the life of that transformation, the culture will change as well. And that's why that focus on, don't forget the reasons that you started this journey, and make sure it's still appropriate to be checking against the initial targets. You've got to keep that organisational strategy in mind, because it might change, factors might influence the direction in which you're heading.
And from a practical perspective, what I've experienced in different organizations is you have different generations of employees throughout the business. You've got people that are just coming in, let's say we've been finance newly qualified, or people straight out of university, and then you have like management level, then you have the C-suite. And their own priorities and motivations may not, you know, include going through a transformation and changing the way they do things and adopting a new culture. And I think that's one of the biggest barriers, the guardians of, you know, the status quo as such, particularly at, you know, higher levels of the hierarchy, as opposed to the younger generation, who are probably more agile and can adapt and adopt new technologies.
So where do things like changes brought in for other factors like ESG, because we're seeing organizations increasingly need to flex, does that relate back to your value case argument, James, that you were talking about, that the sense of why we're driving transformation isn't simply just about process efficiency, as it maybe was when we talked about continuous improvement 10 years ago, it's now more fundamental than that?
Absolutely. I think people's values and you know, when you're making a change, you're trying to put an investment, people understand what's in it for me. or how do I benefit from this? And like traditionally, it's been around finance returns, return on investment, but not everybody values that, especially those employees or people that you want to adopt the solution. And so you have to present a number of different value propositions that may include environmental implications, they may include the improvement of customers, they may improve their upskilling of their personal journey, they may be interested in business making more profits. But yeah, so having a broader range of a value proposition to communicate is now, I think, more expected.
But as Andrew said as well, value accrues over time, doesn't it? It's not that finite sense that we perhaps had in the traditional view of the business case.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an ongoing journey. And that's why it's really important to probably step away from the traditional view of get to the end of the project, we're going to realise all these benefits in the next year and that's us done. And the reality is not that. It's an ongoing an adoption and then continuation of that usage and ensuring that all of those values that you have presented in the proposition are being met.
The other thing not to forget is the value that the finance professional can add. It might be a transformation in a department that you might not think is relevant to finance, but if it is transformational, it should impact finance, and finance should be geared up to support that in some way, not just in turning out the numbers, but in how they deliver their service and how they add value to the wider organization in order to drive success and partner the business. So it has that knock-on effect. So any change or transformation that the organization is going through, ensure that the finance team are aware and aware of the potential implications so that they can adapt and adopt as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And from my experience working with different groups of finance functions, if I think about the role of the CFO and their relationship with the CEO, they go through the strategy development, the funding and enablement of the strategy to be executed. They understand the industry, the products and services and the business model itself. They understand, or they have an informed perspective of what the challenges are and how to influence them. And then that should cascade down through the finance function to support other operational functions of the business. And Andrew's point about the business partnering, I think that's key to unlocking that. And what could enable this would be the business partnering role and the utilization of data across the organization. And finance are in a pretty decent position where they already have access to some of that critical data that they use for sales, budget setting, cash flow forecasts, customer performance, et cetera, et cetera. So they're already in a decent position to utilize that data. It's in collaborating across the organization at each level, as opposed to just at the CFO level, and having a more customer-focused approach as opposed to a task-focused approach, which is essentially a changing culture, will be the key to unlocking that.
So we've alighted on the fact that finance needs to be a very integral part of transformation across the organisation, because it has this need to look at performance in a bigger view, but look at data in a bigger view and really partner the business in growth and in seeking opportunities. And is that our key argument for getting finance really engaged in organizational transformation, or are there other factors that the two of you have considered in your experience?
Well, I think it's because the finance relationship and the input to the business strategy is so key that finance have that influence, they've had that role, and so they should support it by collaborating across the rest of the business who are essentially there to drive it. And from a practical application of that, you would have metrics, key metrics in the business, and you'll have KPIs that cascade down through different functions. And the finance function should be supporting the other functions to achieve what it being, you know, it was being held accountable for in terms of the KPIs.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think, I mean, I love the word collaboration, but certainly the when we talk about finance professionals and the skills that are more relevant now than ever, it is being able to adapt and adopt different cultures that will arise in different teams, but drive that focus on the overall goal and challenge, I think as well, Clive, challenge the different areas to make sure that they're working towards the ultimate vision and the company's success.
So from your two perspectives, having been extensively involved in transformation activities, your current organisations, your previous organisations as well, what would you recommend to those listening to this podcast who are finance professionals in terms of engaging? What tips would you give to make them effective in supporting their organisations moving forward?
It's going to come from leadership. So you have to have a strong leadership that are, they're not just telling you, they're showing you. So they're actually doing what they're expecting the rest of the organisation to do. Because if you don't have that, then the adoption and continued success of any change will fail. Having the leadership showing and not just telling, you have to then engage the stakeholders, which includes the employees, very early on. Bring them along the journey from the start. It's a cultural change. And if they're not brought along from the beginning, and they're included at a later point, it might feel like it's being enforced upon them, and it doesn't feel part of the solution. It would feel like it's being handed to you just to get on with your job. And I think nowadays we have a different expectation of how we work and a different expectation of how we should go through these changes as an organisation. Again, we've already touched upon what's in it for me, identifying the value propositions. And this is one of the key elements for me. Change takes time and effort. And where businesses that I've worked with have overlooked is giving people the capacity to enable them to adopt the change, adapt, and they would need to be empowered in terms of the decisions that they can make, and they would need to be enabled through specific training and mentoring. But their usual BAU activities would need to be reprioritized and adjusted to enable them to have the capacity to adopt the change.
Yeah, for me, certainly, you mentioned some of the words that I would definitely agree with. It's that engagement and the journey. And definitely the most successful business transformations I have seen are where there is that engagement and people across the organisation don't feel that it's been done to them, that they're a part of that and they're much more bought in. I think the journey aspect for me is don't forget where you started from, and keep looking at where you're getting and where you're heading. And as I say, that path might change. You'll have your milestones as you go along, but and don't be afraid to move them around a bit. It might be that the journey is changing to get to that overall destination of success because of outside factors. And it's important to recognize that and leadership, just be confident in what you're doing and don't be afraid to adjust that direction.
Yeah, the COVID situation, where people went home from the office and, you know, some didn't return for over a year, that very rapid adaptation to working from home, adopting a new way of working with technology, collaborative tools, was successful in what I experienced. And I think it's because people were affected equally at the same time. And they just all made the changes that were needed. And if we can apply that approach to any business transformation, bring people in early on, I think you'd see much better results in terms of its success.
And are we likely, so James, pick up on that last point of what's happened to us during the pandemic, are we likely to see this acceleration in transformation continue? Because clearly organisations are still having to adapt to what is a very dynamic, changing trading world.
I would think so. And I think the finance function specifically will now have much more of a focus forward-looking as opposed to in the rearview mirror, because of the uncertainty of the future and being, you know, all these things will happen and they can be at any time, but you can always have an element of readiness. And if you have a forward looking approach to things, you can be somewhat prepared, particularly when it comes up to your supply chain, the cash flow, some of the elements that I think traditionally have been overlooked or not as much as a priority as the P&L budgets versus actuals and variances, which is all historical looking. I think so.
The other thing that I'm hoping, Clive, is that after the pandemic, many organisations were very cautious, and prior to the pandemic, were very cautious about transformation and things that could happen. And over the last 18 months, many of those organisations have proven that they can adapt. And I'm hoping that confidence will keep going, so that businesses will continue to be agile and deliver what's needed. And the finance professionals are going to be fundamental to keep doing that, as James says, to ensure that results and cash flow continues to move in the right direction.
I mean, that's a great point, that the fact that we have now essentially a bit of a use case that everybody has experienced to some degree, that we can change. I think that's right.
So that's an interesting point, isn't it? That sense of we've managed to achieve agility because we've needed to actually bodes well for potentially the next set of challenges that we suspect we face going forwards. I mean, currently we talk about supply chains and other things, but there are going to be other factors, aren't there, going forwards from here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. There always were, but I think we've proven that we can do it now. So let's keep doing it. And as finance professionals, let's keep leading that change and engaging to make sure that we're on the front foot.
Well, thank you both. Just to wrap us up, one sort of key message you'd like to leave the audience with from what we've talked about in this podcast. Andrea, do you want to start us off?
No.
All right, go on, James, you start.
Okay. No problem. I think start small. Transformation is a huge, it feels like a huge activity, which ultimately it is, but you can start small, have some pilot projects to start to roll out, and it would need to be driven by people. So I would recommend having a peer-driven engagement, which could include having champions within different parts of the business that are fully behind this initiative, as well as the leadership. So then others around them, it's like osmosis, they will start to do and work in the manner that, you know, the way it's being championed. Having that early engagement is key, and listen to people's concerns with the understanding, or with the intent of understanding, because change, transformation, however you want to phrase it, can be seen as a threat, although we're trying to wrap it up as an opportunity to individuals that we're expecting to adopt, it can be seen as a threat. So providing that ongoing, you know, consultation, support and communication throughout will break down that resistance. So that's my kind of one tip in about 15 sentences. But ultimately, yeah, start small, early engagement, and rely on the people. You need to have the use case as well. You need to ensure you have a use case, not doing it for the sake of that, but if you have got your use case, that would be my tips.
Yeah, I mean, you say don't do it for the sake of it. I think it's important, you know, when we're talking about transformation, don't do it for change sake. Don't sort of set off on a journey without thinking about where you're going. Make sure that you've assessed where the organisation wants to be, what that vision is, what that long-term goal is, that ultimate goal. And look at the parts that make it up, engage the stakeholders, internal and external, to get feedback and plan out. Don't underestimate the impact it will have on your people, who are your greatest asset, and then look at the technology that you have in place and bring it all together.
Yeah.
Thank you both very much indeed for those thoughts and for that very engaging conversation. We hope you found this session useful. If you wish to read the full report or access any of the abstracts, then please visit either the ACCA, Chartered Accountants Australia and New Zealand, or Generation CFO websites, or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. But Andrew and James, thank you very much for your time and for your insights.
A pleasure.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, James.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.